The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, August the 9th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled "The Nagasaki Bombing Took Place 80 Years Ago Today." And the time is 8:52 here in London, making it, 3:52 on the east coast of America, and 8 minutes to one on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. First up, a good friend of mine and frequent guest on the show passed away recently, and I wanted to share her obituary with you. Deanna Spingola, beloved author, historian and radio host, February the 17th, 1944 to July the 7th, 2025. Deanna Spingola, a dedicated student of history, prolific author and respected voice on the Republic Broadcasting Network, passed away peacefully on July the 7th, 2025. She was widely known for her rigorous research and thought-provoking publications, most notably the Ruling Elite series, which examined pivotal geopolitical events of the 20th century. Born in the mid-20th century, Deanna fostered a lifelong passion for history and truth-seeking. Her early works included technical books on quilt design, reflecting her attention to detail and creative spirit. In 2011, she published The Ruling Elite, a study in imperialism, genocide and emancipation, and later The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction and Domination, from 2014, which challenged mainstream historical narratives and inspired many to view history through a critical lens. Through her long-running program on Republic Broadcasting Network, Deanna engaged listeners in deep discussions on history, finance and power structures, earning a reputation as an insightful and persuasive commentator. Described by bookshop reviewer Forward as presenting an alternative view of world history, she sparked debate and encouraged independent inquiry. Beyond her public contributions, Deanna was known to friends and family as a generous soul with unwavering intellectual curiosity. So rest in peace, my friend Deanna, and thank you for all the work that you did. Okay. So one of the shows I've been listening to on and off over the last few months is Night Shadows with Stuart Best and Larry Taylor, so long as you skip their religious discussions, as unfortunately they believe that the state of Israel and the Israel of the Bible are the same thing. Anyway, here's a very moving clip about a lack of love in the world today from their August the 1st show.
On Ordinary People, Patty steered me on it. She said, "You got to watch this." And it just, how people really are. Very interesting movie. And I watched one last night, and it was kind of like they lived in this perfect community. And everybody dressed about the same, and on it went. there was no love there.
Yeah.
They outlawed it.
Keep talking. I got to go shut my shed though, where it's raining.
Okay, so funnily enough, that guy who just went to close his shed door told his audience on their Wednesday show about a dream he had in which he was praying to Jesus Christ with Benjamin Netanyahu. Unfortunately, I can't tell you anything else, as that was about the time I tuned out. Okay, so here's what I found of interest in the news since last week's show. Let's go over to my little bookmark here. Now, the tariff thing has kicked in now in America, all these tariffs they're charging on other countries. And I mentioned before a point of discussion on the radio program as to how tariffs are being used more as a means of boycotting countries, punishing countries, than for economic reasons. So they're being used more for political reasons than economic ones. Well, it turns out Donald Trump said that he was going to raise the tariffs on Canada to 35% after Canada pledged to support Palestinian statehood. And I'm like, you know, say for example, Texas, there's talks of secession for years of different places in America. Say Texas wanted to secede from the United States. They made a big thing of it. They had a massive campaign going. They had a lot of support. And Canada turned, the government of the United States was against it. And Canada turned around and said, we support Texas's right to secede from the United States. Well, then you could understand the United States government saying, well, that goes against our position. We can't have a foreign neighbour supporting people against the United States government, so we'll need to punish them in some way. Again, whether you do that by tariffs is extremely debatable, because that's not what I understand that they were, what we're told they're for. Of course, what we're told they're for is always, not always, but can be, very different to what they're actually intended to be used for. But again, I just find that, yeah, very interesting, shall we say. BBC still having their problems. They have this programme called Strictly Come Dancing, which I think in America is known as Dancing with the Stars. It's the same concept. Why anyone would want to watch someone dancing in a on a television show is just beyond me. I mean, what's the plot? What's the, you know, I just don't get it. But you know, I suppose a lot of people might not want to watch things like The X-Files or CSI, the sort of things I like. But I like to, you know, have some excitement and what's happening and who's the villain and all this sort of stuff in something. But watching people dancing, watching people cooking, watching people living in a house together that are being filmed. I mean, it's astonishing to me how these sort of concepts that came about in the early part of this century have actually taken off and are still going strong today. But, yeah, there's been some problem with drug use amongst people who are working on this Strictly Come Dancing programme, and that's being probed by the BBC. Daily Mail article here. I'm going to give you the headline, and then I'll see if the top comment is still the top comment. So it says, Keir Starmer is seriously considering introducing digital ID system as a way to tackle immigration and bring public services back into shape. So, well, already the newest, another of my conspiracy theories coming true. That went up 2 days ago. The article is quite old now. Well, within the last week, but that's old in the media, isn't it? It's old after a day. Two upvotes, zero downvotes. Let's look at the best rated. Silly me, all this time I thought the solution would be to stop them coming in the first place. 1,500 upvotes, three downvotes. But there was someone there that had talked about problem, reaction, solution. This, I don't think this is it, but it's close. T. Blair tried this and failed and has always been part of the global agenda. They're using their mass immigration as an excuse stroke solution to bring it in. We are all being played and freedoms and privacies are being eroded daily. We must resist. Now, I don't have an iPhone and I do pay cash whenever I can. 1,000 upvotes, 34 downvotes. Okay. There was What really disgusts me, get back on track here, is when you see an opposition party criticising a government for doing exactly what they were doing. So I'll give you an example. There's a talking point in the UK this week about police not telling us the ethnicity of dangerous suspects. And some Tory MP, Chris Philip, has said, this is terrible, we shouldn't be covering this up. Well, the Tories were in power for 14 years. And from what I can understand, it's a worldwide thing. And the media are involved too. Yeah, it's really disgusts me when somebody, they've been doing this themselves for 14 years, and suddenly, you know, talking about the pot calling the kettle black, they start using that against the new administration, who I'm no fan of either, but that just explains what politics is about for me. Do you honestly think that if the Tories got into power today, tomorrow, they would do this? They would start naming and displaying all these people? No, because when they get in, they tell you what they want, they think that you want them to do in order to get into power. And once they're in power, they do whatever they're told by the people who are really in power that I refer to as the powers that should not be. There's been some problem with squatters on a farm in France, and the way that they dealt with it was they sprayed manure at them or around them, and it drove them off because of the smell. So this takes us to another thing. You know, this is the sort of thing that years ago when I was growing up, that'd be acceptable. It'd be, well, you've got to get rid of them one way or another. But now it's all their rights, this, rights, that. Well, get this for rights, folks. A shopkeeper had his own little shop. He's not a big corporation like the ones that were allowed to open during the lockdowns. This guy would have been told to close because he's a one-man band, because he's not essential, whereas all the big companies that are owned by multinational organisations, they're essential. Of course they are. But anyway, he put up a sign in his shop because he kept getting shoplifting being done there. And it referred to, basically, was locking cabinets and that used to be open. And the reason he had to lock them, he said, was to stop shoplifters that he referred to as scumbags. Well, the police actually came to him on that occasion and he was told to take it down because people have found referring to shoplifters as scumbags offensive. I mean, you know, it takes us back to this thing in the Bible again, doesn't it, about in these end times, everything considered bad will be good and everything considered good will be bad. And I can even give you a scripture for that, and that is obviously in the Ten Commandments. There's a lot more laws than those in the Ten Commandments. There are 759 laws, statutes, ordinances and the judgments for breaking those in the Bible, to my knowledge. But thou shalt not steal is one of the Ten Commandments, and the sacrificial law as well. That was something that can be removed from the laws, in my understanding, because that was done away with the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. Okay, the Poltergeist films, you may remember, that wasn't actually a bad film. Yeah, anyone who complains about Poltergeist 1, 2 and 3, I don't know if they made any more since then, but they were the ones that I know. I mean, the Omen films were 1, 2 and 3, and they ran on for a load more that were dreadful. But they were the big ones. Just go and watch Paranormal Activity, or go and watch The Blair Witch Project. Both films that give you this non-stop suspense, but nothing actually happens. They're just dreadful, whereas at least in these Poltergeist films something happens. Well, the house is an actual house, a bit like the shock I got when I walked up a set of stairs at the back of a gas station in Georgetown when I was visiting a couple of friends from university who came over as exchange students from North Carolina to my university in the mid-1990s. I went over in the late 1990s and we had a drive round, went to Baltimore, went to Washington, D.C., and obviously Georgetown, and discovered that the steps from The Exorcist were at the back of this gas station where the guy jumps out the window and plunges down the end. Well, I thought, well, it's just the steps, and then all this graffiti going up the walls of the steps as you walk up, and it was so faded and you couldn't, I stopped to look at bits and it was all just a smear now. You couldn't really see what it was. And as I'm walking up, the house is at the top, the actual house. And I was like, I wasn't expecting that. It's a lot further back from the steps. So it's got quite a big garden at the back of it. But yeah, the actual, so obviously they had to make that look closer. Otherwise, Father Karras, who jumps out, wouldn't have been able to reach from the window to the steps. There you go. But yeah, the Poltergeist house is up for rent on Airbnb. So if you want to experience some times in the Poltergeist house, you'll be able to look that up wherever that is. Mainstream media again have been talking about Russia will sink its own ships in a false flag and blame the West in order to start World War III. Okay, and again, I think of all the times that the West have done things like that and blamed an enemy and got the war they wanted going, so I found that rather hypocritical. But it could happen on either side because, as I say, I believe all these sides are controlled by the same group. Okay. Nigel Farage, he's another guy that comes out and tells people what they want to hear. Well, apparently he's not going to ban trans inmates from women's jails, which I found quite interesting because this is one of these, a bit like the migrants coming over on the boats. There's a big populist thing against it, and that's another one. But he's not going to jump on that bandwagon, apparently. A woman who had made a post, a Facebook post, about her boyfriend, who was a police officer, in a group that warned of men's red flag behaviour. She was arrested at dawn by, guess what, the police. So, again, it seems quite interesting, doesn't it? And one would wonder if she'd had this same post but about someone who wasn't a serving police officer, if this would have resulted in a dawn raid by the police. So yeah, she says, they took me in, they took my phone, they took my computer, they put me in the back of a van. She was questioned about the messages during 12 hours that she spent in police custody, and she was released without charge. Her duty solicitor agreed that she would not have been arrested if her ex was not a police officer. So again, these people aren't doing themselves any favours in the public opinion arena. We've got, apparently today, might get into this later, we'll see what the news is saying now, but there's lots of protests supposed to be planned for today against the some immigration hotels. There's a Palestine Action protest going to be going on, where if you display any support for Palestine Action, you go to jail. And they've even been clearing out, I read in the mainstream media earlier in the week, they've been clearing out cells, because these people, they're not going to be arrested and then, right, come to court in a couple of months. They're going to be remanded. So their day out today, for some people, if what is suggested is going to happen happens, will result in their last day of freedom. They'll be waking up tomorrow in the prison cell. But anyway, there you go. Let's move on to, there's a statue in Denmark, I remember, it's called, I think, the Little Mermaid, and it's supposed to be something really worth looking at. And when I went to Denmark on one of my cruises in Copenhagen, I thought that this mermaid statue of a rather buxom woman was the Little Mermaid, and it certainly didn't look little to me. But it turns out that that wasn't the Little Mermaid. That's somewhere different, and it's just a tiny little thing that I don't know why there's any sort of interest in. But the one of the buxom woman has started causing some problems, and people are demanding that it's taken down because apparently it's pornographic. So this has resulted in the discussion about some of these old, you know, Greek statues that display the genital area and stuff like that. Are they pornographic too? Well, we will see. So that's been going on, and I only mention it because I've actually seen it, so it's something that I can tell you about. A couple of incidents with airports in the last week. My view is that the powers that should not be don't want us doing air travel. And isn't it interesting that in recent years we've been having all these problems with airports, all these delays, all these disruptions to people's journeys. It's almost as if they're kind of edging people towards, well, I've heard about all these delays, all these problems keep happening, I don't want to experience that, so I'm not going to travel. Convenient, isn't it? But yeah, Heathrow Airport had severe delays because there was a tunnel to a couple of the terminals were closed, and of course they had problems that I reported on last week's show. And then also there was a private plane that made an emergency landing at Birmingham Airport, which ended up shutting the hotel for a period of time, and again caused a lot of upset for a lot of families that were going on holiday. There you go. There's been talk about a new COVID type strain in China. We've heard all these sorts of things coming through over the years. This monkeypox and all these different strains are going to be the new big thing. But this is one that has been kicking off quite a bit in various media platforms, both independent and mainstream. And COVID-like quarantines have been already imposed. It's called the chikungunya virus. More than 7,000 infections have been reported in the southern city of Foshan. That's in the Guangdong province, wherever that is. And it's resulted in lockdowns and masks and these sorts of things going on. So we'll just have to see if that develops into something else. Of course, here in the West, we're technically going to be going into our autumn season soon. It's always thought that autumn was September because that was when I went back to school. And it was in early September, and it was called autumn term. But autumn doesn't really start probably until late October. You have situations now that I've noticed in this country that, I mean, for example, I'm still mowing the lawn in October, right? And I might even give another cut in November before I have to go back to it March or April the following year, obviously. So, yeah. Seasons, I think, have definitely adjusted in my lifetime. Summers have started later, finished later. This could all be to do with time speeding up or whatever you hear different people talking about in the independent media. Finally, there's scientists have been saying that the Gulf Stream is close to collapsing. And if the Gulf Stream collapses, that's a current that stops never-ending winter in Europe. And you can guess what they're putting it down to. Yes, of course, it's that old favourite, climate change. Not global warming, ladies and gentlemen, because climate change covers them if it gets colder or hotter, you see. But in this case, they actually refer to the film The Day After Tomorrow, where it's all about the Earth going into some sort of ice age. Of course, they can't refer to Emmerich's other film, 2012, because that's been and gone and that didn't happen. So they're winding us back to The Day After Tomorrow, which was the film he did before 2012, which, to be honest, they're both good films for disaster films. If you are a fan of the 1970s disaster film genre, just find a film like that that's done well. Another one is San Andreas with The Rock as the lead actor in it, and he's very good. I mean, the film is good. It does what you would expect. But of course, you're talking about special effects from this century compared with special effects from the 1970s. And it doesn't matter how big a budget a film it is, you're obviously going to see more happening on a film with the more modern special effects. So the question is the director good enough? Is the acting good enough? Let's be honest, these 1970s disaster films weren't known for their acting or their direction. They were known for their effects and almost bordering on horror. But certainly those films that I mentioned, The Day After Tomorrow, 2012, and San Andreas, were executed to very good effect. Another one which is brilliant is called Knowing with Nicolas Cage. Another one, these sort of disaster movies, end of the world type movie. Just a few ideas for you there. And now I need a few ideas, because it's the time that we look and see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. But before I forget, last Sunday's traditional Christian message was the very last parable that I covered. The Parables of Jesus Christ series, I think we did 41 episodes, that means there must be 41 parables. That finished. And so tomorrow's traditional Christian message starts with a new series called The Miracles of Jesus, which I think is going to run for about 35 episodes. I think they're 35 miracles. So I've got all those ready each week. So for those of you who enjoyed the parable series, that is now done, and it's the miracle starting from tomorrow. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. Let me start off with Associated Press, apnews.com. They've started having a few boxes asking you to subscribe. We'll see if they pop up. Top story, leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan shake hands and sign deal at White House Peace Summit. So Trump's got his hands on their two hands as well. Never likes to avoid any bit of publicity, this guy. And of course, we know how much he's after that Nobel Peace Prize. That's the top story on AP.com. Certainly remember that there were some skirmishes between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Peace is a wonderful thing. Let's hope that this actually holds. Let's go over to Reuters.com. See what's happening over there. Top story, Ukraine will not cede land, Zelensky says, as Trump-Putin plan meeting. Now, Zelensky in this headline, it's got S-K-I-Y at the end. I've also seen it spelt with one Y and two Ys, and this is all out of the mainstream media, so they can't seem to work out how to spell his name. Now, I know that some people believe that Russian is just when you put the R's the wrong way round. So maybe there's some difference in the translation of the fact that they use different symbols for their language. It's not like, you know, French or German, they use the same letters as we use in English. They have completely different symbols for their letters, and it may be that it's being translated by different people in different ways. One of the weirdest things to look at is the Georgian language. If you look up the Georgian language in how it's written, it's very strange. Obviously, we've got things like Japanese and Chinese. Japanese, actually, my book got printed in Japan. I think a couple of printings, and then it was either the second or the third that got unceremoniously pulped, because it wasn't selling enough copies, so they thought it would be better off being recycled to make other books that did. But the Japanese book, you read, I think it's either up to down or down to up, but you start off from what we would call the back page, and you work your way through that way. So it's really, really quite strange, but it's quite nice to have actually had something that I did put into that language, and yeah. There you go. Okay, let's move on to the BBC. Let's see what their top 10 most read stories are at the moment. So we'll scroll down on bbc.co.uk/news. Number 10, woman dies after lifeboat rescues her from sea. Number 9, Israel rejects international criticism of Gaza City takeover plan. Number 8 is Super Skinny Back, UK sees rise in complaints over thin models. Number 7, Are We Not Working Class Enough? Students Divided on Civil Service Internship Reform. Number 6, Jim Lovell, Apollo 13 astronaut dies aged 97. There was a film about that as well, wasn't there? Apollo 13, I think Ron Howard directed it. I think I saw it. I think Tom Hanks was in it, but I don't really remember it. So obviously didn't stand out for me for some reason. Number 5, Elon Musk's AI accused of making explicit AI Taylor Swift videos. Number 4, Faith, Family and Fishing, the unlikely bond between J.D. Vance and David Lammy. David Lammy is our foreign secretary, which is the equivalent of the US's Secretary of State. And J.D. Vance is staying with him, I think, at the moment as he holidays in the UK. Number 3, J.D. Vance says warning to UK and scam by me. That's the What the Papers Say roundup. Number 2, people are angry behind the wave of asylum hotel protests. And number 1, Prince Andrew book seals his fate for any return. And this is some book about him that, shall we say, is written in the style of an Albert Goldman biography of somebody. If you've not heard of this guy, you might want to look him up and see the sort of things that he would claim about people. He had a tendency of making quite outlandish claims about the people the biographies focused on, who all were conveniently dead at the time and therefore couldn't challenge anything that he said. But maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong. You could look it up for yourself. I know he did one on Elvis and he did one on John Lennon called The Lives of John Lennon, I believe, that Paul McCartney famously referred to as trash when it came out. Okay, Daily Mail, let's go over there. That's where I go every day, to the Daily Mail and the BBC and all the independent news websites we're going to run through in a moment. I go there at least once a day. Lovely story at the top here. Exclusive, how son found his ex-wife in his father's bed before the family imploded. Jaw-dropping new twist after British businessman is accused of trying to drown his daughter-in-law on holiday. And that reminds me of, I believe Elon Musk's father had some sort of relationship with a daughter-in-law of his. I don't believe it was anything to do with Elon Musk. It was probably a daughter-in-law from another son he's got or something like that. Daily Mail did an article on it, so I'm not going to start. It gets annoying when people say, all right, hang on, I'll just type this in. Daily Mail, Elon Musk, you know, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, something like that. But if you want to do that, I'm sure I've mentioned it before. So if these are the sort of things that interest you. And then the next headline down, exclusive again. The utterly mortified princesses, sordid revelations about Prince Andrew, forces Eugene and Beatrice to keep a distance from their father as insiders fear what may happen next. And whenever I look at these two daughters of his, they look like him with wigs on. But you can have a look for yourself and see if you agree. But there's something else they have been doing, their Mail Plus stories, the Daily Mail. And I noticed this headline earlier because I was cheeky and I had a little sneak peek before doing the show. Mail Plus exclusive. Headline, the town where any older woman can find a hunky lover young enough to be her grandchild, making it an expat magnet. Sabrina Miller reveals the very uncomfortable truth. As noughties pop music pulsates over the speakers, a muscular man in his 20s wearing a tight t-shirt and shorts clambers on top of 66-year-old Linda and starts to perform a lap dance. You'll be pleased to hear that that's as much as I've got of that story, because you would have to sign up for a Mail Plus subscription to get more. That's clearly an enticement for people to do so. Okay, so that's the mainstream news covered. So let's have a look at the independent media, see what is going on over there. One thing I forgot to do today is I forgot to have a look at Rents.com's guests for yesterday. That's one of the shows that I go and look at. to see what I want to listen to. So, it was Admiral Harry Cooper back on Fridays. He was on, always used to be, one Friday a month for years and years, and then he moved, I think, to Thursdays for some reason. But now he's done a two-hour Friday show. For those of you who like Harry Cooper, Hidden Secrets of World War II Part 2 is the title of the show. So let's scroll down a bit further on rents.com and have a look at the top headlines. Grok 4 shattered everything we knew about AI. Why Grok 4 is huge, video. Jeff's been doing a lot of solo shows on AI, so this has become a little pet project of his. I don't really follow AI very much, but certainly if you are interested, it sounds like this Grok 4. I did hear about Grok launching a new updated version of Grok, which presumably is Grok 4. We know that there was a lot of controversy after it started answering certain things with the sort of certain questions with the sort of things you might find in areas of the independent media, and that was rapidly changed for some reason. Trump shouldn't play with nuclear fire in Ukraine. And US nuclear warning, how to understand what's coming and protect yourself and your family when the bomb drops and the system collapses. Excellent simple guide of what to do and how. There you go. Okay. Oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene torches AIPAC. I represent America, not Israel. Let's see. Oh, here we are. HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Excuse me. The top story, someone did not want you to hear this. So I'm going to read this latest article. It's quite short. 8 minutes into my Friday night broadcast, attacks were launched against five separate servers that carry my radio show, knocking the show off the net and off all three global radio stations. Someone did not want you hearing this. The trouble with how this took place is that each of the radio stations has its own private output feed to its own private server. None of that information is public. It is not discernible from any public source by regular people. Yet all three radio station feeds were knocked out. Moreover, the free B feed for non-subscribers was also hit. It too has its own server, but that is publicly known, so it is vulnerable. The attack began when I started talking about President Trump's posting talking about another 1929 Great Depression here in the United States. Because the show got knocked off the air, my tech guys have all been told they're working this weekend to figure out who did what and how. In the meantime, I am making an archive of that show available for free to the general public, so all of you can hear what someone was willing to commit a computer crime to prevent you from hearing. Click here to get the free archive of the show. The first 15 minutes is the essential stuff. That was when the attack took place. Okay, there you go. Let's go over to earthnewspaper.com. And I've already selected something I wanted to read from you here. Just have a little drink of water before I do. 80th anniversary of the completely unnecessary Holocaust in Hiroshima. That's by Michael Hoffman. And the 80th Hiroshima was hit a few days before Nagasaki. So that, I think, was August the 5th or 6th, something like that. Nagasaki was hit 80 years ago today. This is what he says. The Japanese had been attempting to surrender since 1944. Today is the 80th anniversary of the completely unnecessary Holocaust in Hiroshima. Japan had been trying to surrender since 1944 on the condition that the personal security of the emperor would be guaranteed. As I wrote back in July, at the White House meeting where Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu made public his nomination of Trump, his partner in war crime for the Nobel Peace Prize, Mr. Trump glorified the US atomic bombing of Japan, during which killed 200,000 civilians. His praise is predicated on belief in the enduring myth that by burning to death hundreds of thousands of women, children, and non-combatant men, the lives of tens of thousands of US troops who would otherwise have been commanded to invade Japan were spared. However, according to Roosevelt and Truman's chief of staff, Admiral Warren D. Leahy, the Japanese had been attempting to surrender since 1944 on conditional terms, the main condition being the preservation of Emperor Hirohito's dignity and freedom from prosecution or imprisonment. 200,000 Japanese people were incinerated on the altar of the doctrine of unconditional surrender. In his 1950 history, I Was There, Leahy wrote, "The Japanese were already defeated and ready to surrender because of the effective sea blockade and the successful bombing with conventional weapons. The use of this barbarous weapon at Hiroshima and Nagasaki was of no material assistance in our war against Japan. In being the first to use it, we had adopted an ethical standard common to the barbarians of the Dark Ages." That was William D. Leahy, Chief of Staff to the Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy. And it's from Michael Hoffman's Substack page, which you can find at substack.com, who I had a little note from earlier in the week. It was an email entitled "New Follower on Substack." And apparently, I've got a new follower on Substack. It comes from an address ending with substack.com. But here's my response to them, and it's to their Terms of Service department. I sent this on Wednesday. I still haven't had a reply. This is what I had to say. "Dear Sir or Madam, I received the email below from Substack.com, which appears to indicate someone has set up a Substack account using my email address. I have not set up a Substack account, so this is a completely unauthorized use of my email address on your website, and I have to say, I'm surprised that you do not require users of Substack to confirm their email address by sending an email to the email account they are claiming as their own for your verification purposes. On that basis, will you please cancel the account that is using my email address and ensure my email address is not used by others on Substack in the future? I await your response confirming this has been done. Kind regards, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock." Well, as I said, I am still waiting, so I don't have a great deal of respect for Substack.com. I mean, you think the amount of hoops you have to jump through these days to even log on to, you get a verification code on your phone and stuff like that. And we've got a situation here where someone's used my email address and they haven't even been asked to confirm it by getting an email to the email address they're claiming as their own. The whole thing sounds very fishy to me. Also, the fact I've not received a response sounds fishy, but I will keep you updated if they get back to me. Okay, so that being said, I think that we are about to close out the show with the BeforeIt'sNews.com top 10. So I'm just going to go over and load that up. We're 43 minutes in, so not as long as the 80-minute marathon from last week. I prefer a shorter show, as I don't like to dwell on too many things too often. I like to plow through them quite quickly and let you be the judge on the information presented, and you can then go and look at it in further depth if you so desire. So this is the BeforeIt'sNews.com top 10, just scrolling down to number 10, which went up 4 hours ago. It's got 82 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, US Inc. dissolved, no more IRS, Fed, GCR, EBS blackouts, global shutdown for mass arrests. Special Intel report 8925. Number 9, went up 11 hours ago, 83 people viewing. X22 report, NG to secure DC, Trump is dismantling the DS election system right in front of their eyes. Number 8, went up 5 hours ago, 84 people viewing. News treason, game over, 8925, countdown has begun to martial law, be ready for blackout. Number 7, went up 12 hours ago, 122 people viewing. Warning, officials just issued, stay inside, do not travel, orders 25.000 fine. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that. Number six went up 9 hours ago, 126 people viewing. Michael Jaco, terror alert, 8925. I'm exposing the whole damn SH star T storm. Number five went up 4 hours ago, 126 people viewing. Cliff High, we are out of time. What is about to happen next is terrifying. That went up 4 hours ago, 126 people viewing. Number four went up 12 hours ago, 179 people viewing. The spiritual power of cannabis. Number three went up 4 hours ago, 222 people viewing. Ghost of David Nino Rodriguez. Emergency alert, 8925. Trump dissolves Fed. IRS headed to Gitmo, really. Number two went up 12 hours ago, 290 people viewing. The shocking real reason Trump is blocking imports to the USA. And number one went up 11 hours ago, 354 people viewing. Alex Jones exclusive, FBI director Kash Patel fired senior FBI agents after they threatened to leak key info. Okay, so that's it for today. I am off to record the debut Miracles of Jesus episode of Traditional Christian Message. I want to thank all of you for listening to the Nagasaki bombing took place 80 years ago today. I'll be back with you with Peter on Tuesday. And until then, folks, have a wonderful weekend and bye for now.